It's a great privilege to be here this morning, and especially for you coming over the holidays this morning. Me and my wife had a long discussion just about my jacket and how it struggles to get on over the holidays, and with all the nice food and stuff, so we'll definitely have to think about a running program in the beginning of next year. I think a few of you would feel the same. Yeah, so another year at its end, and we've made the 21st of December. The end of the world was almost the 21st. But luckily, God is in control, and I'm so excited about what God is doing worldwide, because still in His sovereignty, we can experience His presence, and that we can really... I just was listening on the radio, the 21st, the people on the radio, Sonne Grense, speaking about this whole phenomenon of the end of the world, and so many prophecies every year that people live by and try to keep up with. And just the discussion, one of the guys actually, and he's a scientist, he said that... the interesting thing of the times that we are living in is the fact that people are not only focusing on science anymore, but they know that there's something greater than science. There's something that we live for that we know is so sovereign in the world, and God's hand is so evident in everything that we live for. Beginning of the year, I went to the airport to go on a Saturday evening to go to Standerton. Now, Standerton is about, I think, 3 hours. I can't even remember. I think three and a half hours from Joburg still. So I left about 5 o'clock, or I should have left at 5 o'clock that Saturday afternoon. And this was actually the first time that I asked my family to come with me, my three little daughters and my wife, so that they come and just can come and experience what's going on the airport, and just to say bye to Daddy. But for those of you with kids, know that it's not so easy. Just to get everyone in the car and being on time on the airport is quite a thing. So we got to the airport, and the lady looked at me and she said, "Sir, I'm so sorry, but there's no chance that we'll let you into that gate today." Now, immediately I thought of Johan. Johan here this morning, our financial guy, and how he's going to fight with me, having to buy a new ticket. And so, luckily, my family got to get a free, or not a free, a very costly meal at the Spur on the airport. And I got a ticket for about, I think, 8 o'clock. But now you must remember, it's still 2 hours flight. And then at about 10 o'clock, I still had to drive through from Joburg to Standerton. And there's no chance that I would get to Anton and Christelle and not have a long discussion over their lives and just the blessing of what God is busy doing in their lives. So with all this in mind, I was thinking now, if I can leave at 8 and have a little sleep for about an hour or so, then I'll be fine to be on the road and to get to Anton and Christelle and then preach the next morning at 9. And but unfortunately, I was sitting next to a guy on the aeroplane, and I don't know how it works, but it's always those times when you are so tired and you think there's 2 hours of sleep ahead, then you've got this guy sitting next to you and he's all chatty. So when we... you know, was taking off from the airfield, I just saw this guy's knuckles on the armrests. I could see that he's so nervous, but he's quite chatty. He's talking about, you know, all kinds of things. And I realized that he had a few beers on the airport to prepare himself for this flight now. And so afraid. So we got in the air, and almost, you know, just leveling the aeroplane, he immediately asked the air hostess to come and ask for, bring me 3 beers. So he was taking off with, you know, enormous, enormous momentum. I was sitting here with my eyes closed thinking, you know, if he can just not see me, if he can just talk to himself and be blessed. And then the conversation started. So we were talking about his fright for, you know, the flight and how afraid he is to fly. And this is his second time that he's flying. He's always driving. And so we had this long discussion. But I realized that this is not going to be a flight with any sleep. But soon to discover that we were not the only people that was part of this conversation. There was a lot of people now that was joining this discussion as this guy was busy asking me some questions. And you know how it works on an aeroplane. When you see people sitting in front of you, but they're almost lifting their ears over the chair in front of you to try to listen to your conversation. So there was at least about 15 people already listening to us. Now, one of the difficult things for any pastor to get by is when people ask you what your profession is. Especially on a flight, because then the conversation changes. You know, all the swearing then starts to become very, you know, sophisticated words. And they start to speak with a lot of, you know, tech. And this guy, unfortunately, did not use a lot of tech from here on, but was fighting with me. So the conversation with 15 people around us probably was going in a direction that I knew tonight I'll have to defend myself, but I need the Holy Spirit desperately in my life. Because at this stage, he was asking me, so, you know, I'm not in a church anymore because in my church, they, you know, expelled me because I had a lot of conversations with the elders and we fought. And I was listening now to him and hearing all the wrong stuff of church. And I was sitting there and the next question really struck me, and I needed the Holy Spirit. He said, so how does your church change or is different from the church that I'm talking about? And I knew that was a divine moment in his life. And the Holy Spirit said to me, just throw the ball back in his court. And the whole conversation at this stage was about, is he drinking at 11 o'clock in the morning or at 5 o'clock, because that is why the elders was fighting with him. And I said to him, you know what? Let's just talk about what does God say about you drinking at 11 o'clock in the morning. I could see something changing in this guy's mind. Because for the first time in his life, he was confronted by the question, do I really know God? I'm so fascinated by church and churchianity and about why I'm not in church. But why am I fighting with the church? And so there was a few questions that I could see was busy raising up in his mind. But I want to speak about a thing this morning, and I will get back to the story in Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us be in step with the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 4 to 5. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We so often have in our minds certain ideas about Christianity and about life, that we forget that it's all about a relationship with God and the way that God speaks to us individually, but also corporately. And you know what? When it gets to this scripture, getting in step with the Spirit in Galatians, it speaks of a military term of getting into step with a person in front of you, when you go into military terms, gelit, soos wat ons dit in Afrikaans sê, a place in pace, where you need to just follow the guy in front of you and you just make sure to step where he lifts his heel. But you make sure that you follow and you promptly follow the guy in front of you. There's a place where God is expecting us to follow him in the spirit because he's sovereign. And as I listen on the radio, the many fascinations and, you know, arguments about why it's not the end of the world and why it's so important for people today to like to think that it's the end of the world, I was again reminded about the fact that you and I so often forget that relationship of being in step, being in the Spirit. Romans 8, and I'm going to refer a lot to Romans 8 this morning. I want to ask you, go and read Romans 8 this holiday again. We all know that it's profound, but it's so blessed just to stir the passion of the Spirit again in our hearts. For to be carnally minded, verse 6, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. It says that following your own strength, you're not in step with God, you cannot please God, you set your mind on the things of the flesh. And you know what? We soon discover that we are following the norms and the standards of this world. Was it George last weekend preaching at the congregation there? And I said to the people, you know what the big challenge for us is? Another holiday will go by where we don't set our faith to see our families being changed. Faith is in the now that God wants us to actually experience his prompting. There's a place where we enter into the Spirit, but so often we find ourselves in the flesh. Romans 7, verse 18, 25. For I know that in me, Paul speaking, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I do not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then, with a mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So Paul is speaking about the fact that all of us, with all of our good intentions to follow him, and over a holiday like that, like this, it's so evident to me. All the pastors always talk about it. The whole year, you can, work so hard, and then when it's holiday time, it feels like all the chaos start to happen at once. People's lives are falling apart. They want to divorce, and because they've got time to actually reflect on the things that's happening in their lives. You know what Paul says? That when it gets to this war in his life, he knows that he cannot do it. Because the more he tried to do it, the more he realized that he needs the Spirit of God to live inside of him. You know what? When it gets to 2013, I want to say to you, we must live more according to the Spirit of God in our lives. There's too few Christians that realize the urgency and the fervency of living with the passion of God in their hearts. Paul says that it's all undone when it gets to my effort, there's no way that I'll go beyond where I am at. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need God to be so relevant. And I get people that, you know, reason around the gospel and around the things of God so much, you know, these days, trying to convince themselves that they're actually doing fine. But you can hear that it's a lot of distractions from where they actually just must sit at the feet of God, just ask God, God, so what is your problem with me? I spoke to a guy the other day and he said to me, you know what, I can sit at home and I can have church. Why should I, you know, come to church? I can just listen to a sermon. And we had this long discussion and I said to him at a point, I said to him, you know what, I'm fine with all of the arguments that you have and probably most of the things that you are mentioning frustrates me, you know, about churchianity as well. But I can tell you one thing. Why is this an issue if it's not an issue? Why is this an issue if it's not an issue? Other guys spoke to me about small groups. You know, why should I be accountable in a small group? You know, I'm accountable to my wife and my friends. And I said, you know what? Why is this an issue if it's not an issue? The fact is, you need to be in accountability. You need to live with other people. And to make sure that you stay in accountability to such an extent where you can live a godly life. So don't make it an issue if it's not an issue. But I can tell you one thing. While we are fighting about all kinds of nonsense, I love what Reinhard Bonnke says. He says, all people in hell evangelize. Are you with me this morning? Because if you're in hell, you want to try and tell everyone on earth, just change your life. There's a reality going on around us about life and life's urgency and importance. And as I listened to this guy on the radio, I realized, you know what? This is not a fight against, you know, is the world still, or is it already thousands or millions of years or what? And when will it come to an end, or will it ever come to an end? Will in the midst of the cosmic atmosphere, will it still be here for the next? What does that have to do with anything? When you know the sovereign God and you understand, you go through the prophets and you read how they are just stunned by the fact that God is in control of all of this. That you can look in the sky and you can get excited about the things of God. Creation still standing today because God is so excited about what's happening in our lives as the small human beings here on earth. And there's nothing, it's got nothing to do with our reasoning and our trying to figure life out. God just yearns to have a relationship with his children. You know, Romans 8 verse 1 says, there's no, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 17 to 21. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Beautiful. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Characteristics of Spirit-filled Christians, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. In verse 4, it speaks about a righteous requirement. Now I want to end off with 5 points this morning about just requirements that I really believe God wants us to live by. Matthew 14, beautiful story of Jesus. If you read in Matthew 14 in the beginning of that chapter, you'll find that this was the day when Jesus actually had a fight with his disciples. Early in the morning, he went to the mountain, he prayed, and then the multitudes again came to him, he spoke to them, and his disciples said, "Go back home." And Jesus said to them, "You stay, disciples, you feed them." And so we know what happened after that. They all got fed. Jesus sent them back, and he went back to the mountain again. And this is where the story goes on. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why didn't you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesareth. Now, this was one of those lessons that Jesus wanted Peter to understand again. So many lessons that he spoke to Peter about. But this was one of them, because just after this morning, when Peter saw the multiplication and Jesus stirred his faith and Jesus was expecting him to move to the next level, he got to the sea, to the lake of Gennesareth, and yet again he had to speak about the same things. Disciples being so distressed. I want to tell you, one of the things that we need as a requirement to live according to the Spirit is to live lives of faith. You know what? Faith is not one day. Faith is not you and I committing ourselves to a calling one day. Great things to come in our families one day. Faith is to act upon the now. To get out of the boat and step out and say, "I'll trust Jesus, because if Jesus speaks, I want to follow." But we as Christians, we want to live by the Spirit, and we tell ourselves that it's all right to wait a lifetime before we commit ourselves in expectation with what the Holy Spirit is going to do in our lives. You must step out in faith. You know, Peter had to get out of the boat. Jesus wanted him to stop stressing about the waters, to understand that he's in total control. But the second thing is that we must start to stir the flame within our lives. There's two things that I always get to, and I've got the privilege of going to all of the shofar churches in a year cycle, just to go and do evaluations and impartation, just encourage the people on ground level. But you know what? And it's really a privilege. It's really a privilege to see what God is doing all over. But there's always a question that I ask them. So, you know, what is happening here in your region, in the area that you are committed to? And they'll always answer you in saying that this is the hardest ground in the whole wide world. In Franschhoek, they'll tell you, just go into the graveyard and see the Freemasons. And when you get to London, they'll say to you, you know, the hardened hearts. You know, when you're here in Europe, just understand that the people here are so hardened against the gospel. And when you get to Stellenbosch, they say to you, you know what, here in Stellenbosch, the students we can reach, but the families, And you get to Malmesbury and they say to you, you know what, woo, the spiritual climate in Malmesbury. And the spiritual revival is as dry as Malmesbury. That's a joke for those who come from Malmesbury. They always tell you about how hard the ground is that God is expecting them to break. It's the hardest in the whole world. And the second question that I always ask them, so what is your strategy? What is God expecting you to do to break this hard ground? You know what they always tell you? They'll always focus on the strategy of the things that they are not. And I want to clarify that. The people with a student church like Ian Stellenbosch, that's predominantly students, they'll tell you, we need more families. Our strategy is to go out, and yes, there's a place for that. I'm fine with that. And when you get to Worcester, which is predominantly a colored church, they'll tell you, we want to be more white. We are reaching out to the white people. All of our efforts is going to the white community. And when you get to London Tooting, they'll tell you, you know what, we want to focus on the families because we are the students. And the black, in the white congregations, they'll tell you, you know what, we need more brown people, we need more colored people. They'll always focus on the things that they are not. I want to tell you this morning, the devil is so good at getting us to focus on the things that we are not, that we forget to stir the little flames that God is giving us in the midst of the situations that we are in. God already gave the solutions. God already gave us the opportunities that's necessary to break all the ground that is necessary. We must just open our eyes to see the little flames. Start to just blow the little flames, get excited, but we're never excited about the small things because it's too small. We're never excited about the small things that's happening in people's lives because, you know, that guy must just spend some time with Jesus and when he's mature. And you know what? Jesus is changing this world with not so mature Christians. He's changing this world with people with a zeal and a passion to follow Christ wholeheartedly. Who's not at a place of trying to reason out why they are, you know, following God or doing stuff for God. They're just doing it because it's time to do it. Because Jesus is speaking. Jesus is on a roll. And I can tell you all over the world, it's so exciting to see the people that are following the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm so excited about guys like the people there in Reading. That's doing awesome stuff, you know, raw Jesus stuff. Because when Jesus speaks, they do it. And you can go all over the world, and I'll tell you, that is the only generation that will survive. Those who are committed to the Spirit and the leading and the following of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, those who are not will die within a few years from now. As I was listening to the radio conversation, I just realized that the guy that's actually winning this debate now is the guy that's saying, you know what, the Bible is just relevant to the times that of Jesus and the biblical times and for the Jews at that stage. But for now, forget about revelations and about all these prophecies that still must come to fruition. It's not relevant. And you know what, I could hear that even on the radio, the lady that was facilitating this debate was so excited about what this guy is saying, because actually now we arrive at what is realistic. To follow Christ is not realistic. You're going to get a lot of flack following Christ. Within the years to follow, I can tell you the Church of God will have to wake up and get excited about radical Christian living. Stir the little flame so that it will become a felt fire. I'm so excited to see young Christians today. It's so easy to see the little flames. It's so easy to see the things that's stirring their hearts. And just to say, you know what? Just flow. Just go with where God is moving. But stir that little flame. God is going to take you where you should be. God's people come alive through unity, the third thing. I want to mention this again. I've spoken about it previously here at this church. The manifest presence of God is directly linked to the righteousness and holiness of God, of us as people. When we live holy lives, when we start to repent and really, and we see it, you know, here in the Western Cape now, there's so many people that come to the realization that, you know, time, it's really an urgent time and we should just start to repent and do the things of God. And then you see the manifest presence of God. I had a fight with a guy just the other day. He said to me, you know, Forum Godsdienst, what is Forum Godsdienst? Or religious ness, you know, when it gets to just be religious as a society. And he said to me, you know what, all the religious churches and denominations can now just die so that the people that really wants to follow God will follow him. And I'm fine with, you know, what he's saying. I just have a problem with the fact that in South Africa, it's nice to say a thing like that, but at least now, even with religiousness, there's righteousness. There's at least not barbaric actions that, you know, you see in Egypt and all over the world at this stage where people kill one another and bloodshed. At least, you know, when there's a society that is civil, that wants to live, you know, at least some kind of righteous life. It's not as if nature just, you know, want to vomit society out. At least there's peace. And that's why I'm saying, you know what, we must pray for this country as we never did before. It's on a knife edge. Yes, we all must pray for an experience, a revelation of Christ himself, where people will follow Christ and do whatever. But I'm telling you, we need this nation to get back to Jesus. So the manifest presence of God comes through holiness, repentance, living holy lives. But listen to this. Authority and effectiveness is directly related to unity. When the body of Christ are united, and they hear, all of them hear the same thing from God, and I always say this, and I want to say it this morning again, drinking tea together is not going to help us to be unified as the body of Christ. The kind of efforts that we commit ourselves to is tea drinking activities. We will only be unified as a body if we all hear the same thing from Christ. Because if we all hear the same thing, we'll do what God is expecting us to do. And we'll be more, much more effective. Matthew 5:6 says, whatever you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. If we can just commit ourselves in unity, as a force of unity in this country, in this nation, and all over the world as Christians, to be rather unified than to fight with one another, we'll see the success of stepping in spirit and being in rank when God wants us to speak. But there's a lot of Christians that just want to follow and do their thing, and they're almost jumping and doing great things, you know, for God. But they're not in rank. They're not following the prompting of what the Spirit says corporately to the church. Yes, I love, you know, one of the things in the ministry that I love the most is to get excited about people's lives. To see how they seem to just grow in the kingdom and start to just follow the prompting of what God is doing in their lives. But I always teach people that it's subject to the corporate anointing of what God is doing in the corporate church. it's nice to talk about purpose-driven life, and I'm not, you know, I'm saying it's a very good book. Go and read all of those books. It's wonderful. But it must be seen in context of the corporate body. Because there's too many fly-by-nights and wonderful, you know, people trying to do their own efforts, and they're not unified to such an extent where we are really impacting this world. I'm shocked. In Bloemfontein, when I got there, I discovered that, you know, one of the Dutch Reformed churches there was bought by a mosque, and that is just one of so many, because that is their strategy at hand at this stage, because they cannot get, you know, ground property in Midtown. They rather go for Dutch Reformed churches now that's empty, because it's already rezoned for religious purposes. That is their strategy, but they're taking our country. Mid of communities, they are centering themselves into communities to dictate what's happening in society. We are blind. But we get excited about, you know, the religious people that falls off the bus. They are not going to church anymore. Last year, in the Dutch Reformed Church, and I'm sad to say it because it's our burden to take, all of us, 20,000 people got out of the Dutch Reformed Church in 1 year. That is the stats at hand. That is our burden to carry as the Church of Christ. All of us. We must cry about these things because the Church of Christ is busy being hammered. But we're not unified. We're not in step. We're not doing what Christ is expecting us to do. Being in step. The fourth one is determine your next step. And I want to say it together with this, if the previous one was fulfilled. I often find Christians spending a lot of time in the desert spiritually. And they'll tell you, you know what? I don't hear the voice of God. I don't think I've ever heard the voice of God. And then I say to them, you know what? Can I just lead you back to the day that you got saved? Did God speak then? Oh, to think about it, you know, I still remember that small, still voice. And I say to them, you know what? The devil is stealing you from the greatest privilege of spending time with Almighty God, because you must go and revisit the last thing that he said to you. Then you'll hear his voice so clearly again. We seem to, in Christianity, always on a roll trying to do great things for God, but we don't want to be faithful to the things that God is expecting us to do. Being in step means that you must at least be in touch with where God is moving with you, with what he said the last time that you spoke to him. If you can't plot yourself against the last conversation that you struggled with him, where you spoke to him and you said, God, but why? God, how is this possible in my life? God, this is just impossible. And you know how it works. God replies by saying, everything is possible if you follow me. I'm talking about those moments. Those moments when you know, for you know, for you know, for you know that you're in this circumstances, even though it's a dry place, because God is moving in your life. And God wants you to get out of this thing. But you know what? Sometimes it's better to be in the wilderness. God did not call Israel to be in Canaan. He called them to be in the wilderness to worship him. And we often forget that. There's a place of relationship that God wants to engage with us with. But you can't determine your next step if you don't know where you're heading with God and what God is saying into your life. Israel prospered while being in the presence of God. I want to just remind you about this scripture. And I hope that it's on English. because I've only got the Afrikaans. Yeah, there it is. Exodus 33, verse 15, 16. Then he said, this was Moses, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. The people of God, if they want to be in step, they must be in the presence of God, knowing what he is saying to them. You know, Israel, today is actually so sad for me to see the expectation that they still have for the Messiah. In the fact that, if you look through all of the years, the yearning, and when Paul speaks in Romans 8, you know, just the revelation that Paul had that actually this Messiah came and that he fulfilled everything that is supposed to be fulfilled. But with the Jews today still waiting for the Messiah, I can tell you, from the burning bush, Moses understood, God, it's your presence that's taking me to the next level. I must admit that when I walk to this burning bush and I take off my shoes, this is a divine moment in my life. I cannot turn back after hearing this message. Walking from there in the midst of Pharaoh and beyond to Sinai, all that the Israelites lived for was the presence of God. Moses, you rather go to God. But you go. We must be sure that God's presence is still with us. With a fiery pillar by night, the cloud by day, the presence of God moved with Israel. And then the temple, where the people of God could have the presence of God with them. And today, not having the presence of God makes them so empty. Because there's no Ark of the Covenant. There's no presence of God as they understood it. And that's why Paul was so excited in Romans when he said, people understand that all of the things and the prophecies in Micah and in Joel was to say that the Spirit is poured out on all flesh. That you will have God's presence with you every day. And we don't understand the privilege of having Jesus with us all day long. We try to figure out and try to reason and try to do great things for God and do hula hoops. But still we don't know the presence of Almighty God. And we're thinking that we are changing the world. And I'm not condemning you today. But I'm saying to you Christians, we must get hungry for the presence of Almighty God. The last one, the fifth one, is live with an expectation. The Holy Spirit will only work in your life if you have an expectation for Him to operate. An urgency, a fervency. I always ask, you know, as I see CS and his team, the SOS team, go around, why is it that people are so excited when the SOS team goes around to pray for the sick and to see people getting healed? Only the time when the SOS team is there. You know why? Because of expectation. Yes, there's an anointing that goes with it. But you know what? In the midst of the presence of God, we can see mighty things happening. But there's so many things that even in this day is happening with you that is so godly and is so of God, but you don't know about it because you didn't spend time in the presence of God. You don't know that it's actually a divine moment in your life because you have not experienced God speaking to you. Are you with me? Isn't it so, the day when you spend in the midst of the presence of God with an expectation that God is going to do something in my life today, that day you just see how things unfold and get excited about the the presence of God. I want to ask you, Christians, live by the expectation for the Holy Spirit to move more in our lives. Romans 8 verse 11 then. I'm ending off with this. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. What an awesome guy this was. Paul. Knowing and understanding, ooh, God, I can only live by the Spirit that is within me. I'm so sinful. I get so many things wrong, but at least I'm standing up and I'm saying, God, the next time I'm going to get it right. There's room for me to fail, but God, I know that I want to do it right. I want to know how it is to live in your Spirit. This guy on the aeroplane, as we got to Joburg, and now you must remember, many people at this stage listening to a very loud man sitting next to me. He said to me, and he's not toning his voice at this stage. He says to me, you know what? I want to be honest with you. This is the first conversation that I had in my life with a person from church that is bringing me into the presence of God rather than selling his church to me. Now, I want to tell you, my life has changed today. I'm going to get onto the next plane back to my home because I'm on this aeroplane with only my briefcase. I left my family, my wife with two kids, in Blouberg Strand. Is that the right English word? Blouberg Strand. Klink nou so snaaks. I left them this afternoon with only my briefcase, and I'm about to go and stay in Joburg with my family just to get away from them. Leave them. But I'm going to get back onto the next plane. I'm going to reconcile with my family because I know that there's a living God out there. Christians, stop trying to figure out things around God and start to obey His mighty voice. Start to live according to the Spirit and be in step promptly. I just love the scripture of Abram. And God said to him, go and offer your son Isaac. And it says, and that is the most beautiful part for me, early the next morning. Môre. Vroeg die volgende oggend. Abram took his child, his slaves, and his donkeys, and he went to the mountain to go and offer his child. I'm telling you, people, being in step with the Spirit is not easy. It's going to cost a lot of sacrifice. And I want to tell you, it's not time to get comfortable. This is not the time when you and I get fascinated by me and my wonderful calling. It's a time to lay down your life so that Christ can be number one in your life. You and I only have the privilege of being part of His enormous and wonderful and extraordinary and crazy and wonderful and wonderful and amazing plan. God still is in control. The world is not falling apart without Jesus working tirelessly for His end time church with an agenda and with wonderful things to come. Amen. Let us stand. Father, as we stand today, it feels like this was just another crazy year. Such a busy year, Father, where we feel like it can't get worse. But today, Father, we want to ask you, stretch our capacity to receive more. More of your Spirit, to be more effective, to be more promptly, to do more things according to your plans and purpose. So that we can actually see this partnership unfold with you and see your kingdom come here on earth. Father, I want to pray for every person standing here today. I want to ask you, Father God, that you will draw us back into step with the things that you are busy doing. That we will lay down our lives and that will not be the most important thing. To us to see our own little kingdoms rise up. But Father, rather to see your wonderful kingdom being established all around us. In so many people that you are raising up around us as well. And I want to pray now, Father, that your Holy Spirit will come and speak to us over this holiday. Give us the opportunity to become more sharp in the Spirit. While you're standing here, and I want all eyes to be closed. You know, this morning, I know it's holiday and you feel like just going back. That I am geroosterd vleisbout in die oond. But you know what? God has a divine moment with us in times like this, when it's least expected. There's a little flame that's already busy burning in your heart. There's a little flame that God already ignited within your spirit. But the devil is so good at getting you distracted not to see it. Focusing on so many things that you think is important in life, but it's got nothing to do with the felt fire that God wants to see at work in your heart, in your mind, in your life. And today, as you stand here, and I want to encourage you to just focus on God right now, in this moment. This is the most important part of this meeting. I can tell you a lot of things, but it's irrelevant if you don't have that moment with Almighty God where you must take off the sandals of your feet. You must see the burning bush and you must say, God, this is you in my life. I cannot deny this moment. Father, I pray for a revelation of your Spirit in our hearts right now. Come and just speak into us. Father, just come and be the burning bush, the little flame becoming a felt fire. Father, we forgot how gently you work with us according to the expectation in which we ignite your Holy Spirit to just be so gentle with us and become more and more and more and more. Father, I pray this morning, stir little flames. If that is you this morning and you know that it almost feels that that little flame is not burning anymore, then I want to ask you to raise your hand just where you're standing. Just where you're standing. There's lots of hands, so don't worry. I want you to just ignite this morning that heart's desire again to say, God, be everything. Just raise your hand, just where you're standing. Father, I pray for every hand being raised with the expectation to have more of you in their lives. Father, I see so many hands today willing to say that 2012 was wonderful in your presence, but 2013 is going to be awesome. Father, I pray for every person that raised their hands this morning. I pray that you will ignite them. Father, that they will not be the same. Father, that they will start to have a passion and a desire to see your will being done here on earth. That even in the workplace, Father, where they go on holiday, where they are with their families, that it will not be next year and next year, but the faith will be stirred within them to see your agenda right now, in the midst of the presence of the things that you are busy doing in our lives and around us. There's so many lives that you want to impact through us. And I pray this morning, Father, as we raise our hands, that you just come and do an awesome work in our midst, Father, where we will be so vigilant, so aware of you being at work in and around our lives every moment of the day. I pray, Father God, that we as Christians will become more vigilant to such an extent where we will see you at work and have an expectation to see that, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to end off, but I want to ask you, do you need any prayer? No, a lot of you raised your hands this morning. I'm not going to call you to the front. I know that the Holy Spirit is stirring something in your heart. But if you need some prayer this morning and you just need confirmation of the Holy Spirit at work by just a memorial stone to come together with other Christians and just pray for the thing that God is busy doing in your heart, just come to the front afterwards and we'll be praying for you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, do not walk out of this place today and not make right with him. People, there's a prophetic voice over this nation. God wants to have his people back. And I don't have a problem. We can go to any extent, but we are going to see this country following the prompting and the agenda of Christ again. But the urgency must come back. And we must pray for every institution that is Christian. We must pray for every church that follows his prompting so that we can see him coming back in the midst of his people. Amen. Please come afterwards and be blessed. Enjoy the holidays. You don't have to worry about the end of the world anymore. So you can plan ahead for 2013. Be blessed and relax and enjoy the holidays. Amen. Great. Thank you.